Hi, this is David Greenwald of the Linus Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle. What you're about to hear is an interview I did with coaching club member Ron Dubois. Ron is 44 years old, and he's a retired military officer of 24 years. He lives in Arkansas with his wife and two kids, and in about a 7 or 8 month period, he lost 30 pounds using my system and strategies. So very simply, I just wanted to talk to Ron because he can give a very unique perspective being a 24-year military person, and I just think that what you're going to hear from Ron is really going to be a very educational and very empowering experience. So, without further ado, this is my interview with Ron Dubois. Hello, everyone. This is David Greenwald with Alinus Lifestyle. Today, I'm speaking with coaching club member Ron Dubois, and he's going to talk to us about his most recent transformation, and we're going to find out what he did, how he did it, and how he used the coaching club and the Linus Lifestyle system to create the big change that he did. So, Ron, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here with me. Now, why don't you just briefly tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, your age, all that kind of. Give us a little background.
A little background. All right. Well, I'm 44. I've just retired from the Army about a year and a half ago. I did 24 years of service between the Army and the Marine Corps. I grew up in Florida, dropped out of high school when I was 17 so I could go be a jarhead.
And we had talked before. You did 6 years in the Marines, and then you switched, and you did the remaining 18 years with the Army?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, what happened, I did that 6 years with the Marine Corps, and I was going to stay in, but it's kind of funny now I think about it. I think it was 1983 or 84, and they were offering me $30,000 to stay in.
Mm.
And I was, at the time, 23, and I was thinking, man, if I don't get out now and go to college, I'm an old man, and I'll never get a chance. And, I was thinking like that. And so I turned it down, and then I changed my mind and wanted to go back in, and they said, forget you, buddy.
One chance, last chance.
Yep. So I went next door to the Army guy, and he said, sure, we'll take you, man. We'll get you flying helicopters, and you'll have a good time. And that sounded pretty good to me, so that's what I did.
So did you fly helicopters?
Yeah, for 7 years.
I'll be darned. Well, that's great. So, okay, so military, just retired, 24 years. You're 44.
I've got two kids. I've got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Okay.
And been married for 15 years.
Outstanding. Congratulations on that, too. That's not common this day and age, as you know.
Well, you find the right person, I guess. It works out just great.
And you guys have worked hard to make it work, too.
Yeah.
That's the only way it does work, as you know. So congratulations on that. So, all right, so what are you doing now, then? What's the plan for right now as far as personal life, that kind of thing? And you're retired from the military about a year, and I know you're in a program. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing, where you're going.
Well, when I first got out of the Army, I went to work right away. I went to work for Target in a distribution center here in Little Rock. And that was a great company to work for, and it was a good job. But what happened was the very day that my retirement was official, which was August 31st of 2004, my wife reported for active duty. She got called up off the IRR, which is the Inactive Ready Reserve. And she had to report to Fort Benning on August 31st for deployment to Iraq.
Oh, my gosh.
So that we had just moved here to Arkansas. We hadn't even received our furniture or anything yet. We'd been living with my parents. So our furniture shows up on the Friday before, I think the 31st was a Monday or Tuesday. And we got our furniture Friday. We spent the weekend trying to unpack as much as we could. She flew off on Sunday and was gone for 16 months.
Mm.
So me and the kids had a great time.
Wow.
I managed to stick with Target till the following May, and finally I was just burned out, and I took a leave of absence. And then when my leave of absence ended this last summer, I just decided not to go back. Instead, I'm working on a master's degree in the MBA, and hoping that'll help lead me somewhere to what I want to do next.
So did I basically hear that right, that the month you retired was the month your wife got called up?
Oh, it was the very day.
The very day?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was real. This letter had the letter activating her had actually been mailed like 6 weeks before, but because we had moved, twice, actually. We sold our house and moved into a rental, and then we moved out of the rental and moved to Little Rock, and then we moved from Little Rock to this house, and that letter finally caught up. We only had 2 weeks' notice.
Mm.
And so it was, yeah, it was a rough time.
You bet. You bet. I can only imagine. So, all right, so just kind of get the basic data down. How tall are you?
I'm 5'9".
5'9", okay. Well, when did you first find the Leanest Lifestyle program?
Oh, gosh, Dave, I think I was buying supplements with you when you wrote the very first draft.
1999.
So, yeah, I guess, all right, 99, so I would have been, I was stationed at Fort Bragg then, and I read your first draft, I think I gave you a little feedback on it, and then, of course, my wild ride started right then, too. I just was getting deployed like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
99, 2000, my son was born, and that same year I got deployed to Thailand for 6 or 7 months. And then we came back from Thailand, and I got this mission for Vietnam, which was doing some humanitarian demining. And I wound up spending most of 2001 over there. I was able to stay in pretty good shape. The guys I was working with were very physically active, so we did a lot of calisthenics and running and stuff like that, just wasn't able to get in the gym and do any weightlifting.
So
we did.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say we were in Vietnam when 9/11 happened, and they deployed us out of Vietnam, and so then we were I finally got back to Fort Bragg in November of 2003, and where I was able to settle down. They put me at a desk at the John F. Kennedy Special Warfare Center. And that's why I said, I think I've had enough of this.
Well, Ron, let me just talk to you a little bit about that period of time. And you know, when I think of kind of career military people, I know that the military, and you can tell me exactly what the cycle is. But I know they routinely check for physical fitness. They have, you know, height and weight measures. They do their own version of a body fat measure with circumference measures and so forth, and neck, waist, all that kind of stuff. And they routinely do that. How often do they typically do that?
Well, it's at least twice a year.
Okay.
And they'll do it more often if, you know, it's really at the commander's discretion.
Okay.
But they're required to do it twice a year.
And I know when you retired as a major, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what was your weight like at 5'9 in the military?
I generally weighed about 178 pounds.
Okay.
I might have pushed up to 182. My max for the Army was 184. I was not allowed to go over 184.
And you never did?
No.
Okay. So when 9/11 hit and you were an active duty soldier in the Army, how did that affect you? Did it affect you differently than it would have the person, you know, that I heard so much about and that you've read and learned so much about, we all have, and how it just, I don't know, just kind of shocked everyone and put everybody almost in a state of just, you know, depression for a while. It put some people in a big state of depression for years. And I know you didn't have time to do that because you were active duty and you had stuff to do, but how did it affect you, or did it?
Well, initially, it shocked me. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was seeing on TV. Over in Vietnam, that was probably 9 or 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And my team and I had just come back from, we were at this little bar that was called Two Cows, or the Spotted Cow in Hanoi. And we had been drinking and playing darts and having a good time, came back to the hotel and were crashing, and my NCO started beating on my door, you know, and woke me up and told me, turn the TV on.
Mm-hmm.
So then we had to start making some phone calls right away, because we called the embassy and we called the State Department to find out what they wanted us to do.
Right.
But, yeah. So then after that shock piece, we were energized.
Okay.
I mean, we were pissed and energized and ready to go. You know, it's all right, man. Let's go take care of these jokers.
Right. So it was it fired you guys up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and angered you, of course.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's to us, and And I think probably to a lot of Americans, it's as if somebody came and lit your house on fire.
Right.
Or, you know, attacked you personally.
Right.
Because that's what it was.
Yep. Well, it's a very interesting perspective, because it's not often that I get to interview a career military person who, you know, was active duty when 9/11 hit. And it's different than a civilian, you know, who, even if they were living in New York City, and everybody has their own perspective on it and their own view and how it affected them individually. I mean, I was in a small town, Dixon, Illinois, when it hit, and it affected me. I mean, it was just amazing. It affected everyone. And
yeah.
Your perspective is really, really interesting, I think. So, all right, so it fired you up. So at 5'9", 178-ish to 184 in the military, I don't really see that as being a weight problem. So tell me a little bit about what has gone on with your weight. What's your weight history been like, your fitness, and this whole transformation journey? And when did you decide to cut the fat off? And let me ask you this, what do you think predisposed you to put on this additional fat? Where did you start?
Well, I think what happened is, I retired. Mm. I came out here to Little Rock, and I joined a gym right away. But I wasn't really as focused. I didn't have the team that, you know, in the Army I had four or five guys that worked with me all the time, and we pushed each other.
When you worked out?
Yeah, we would take turns. You know, one of my NCOs was a jiu-jitsu black belt, and, you know, when it was his turn, he would just beat us on the floor. You know, we'd do a lot of floor work and doing a lot of calisthenics or super slow push-ups and stuff like that.
Right.
Another guy was a big runner, you know, so you could always count if he was going to be in charge. We'd be running through the woods and, you know, putting some miles on our shoes. And then the unit I was in, they had a one day a week, they called it officer PT, and all the officers would come out and we'd play football. And so it was just, you know, you're physically active all the time, and you're in a group setting around people that are physically active all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And now the whole Army isn't like that, but, you know, the unit that I was with and the group that I was with, we had to be. And so that just made it more fun. So I came out here to Little Rock, and I didn't really know anybody, and, you know, I was kind of on my own all of a sudden.
Right.
And, you know, I was going to the gym and lifting and doing a little bit of cardio, mostly running on a treadmill, which I wound up hurting my knee doing that. And then all this stuff happened, you know. The wife deployed, and the shift I worked at Target was a 12-hour shift. It was three days a week, but it was from 4 in the afternoon to 4 in the morning.
Okay.
And so that just wipes you out. And originally I was going to the gym on the way to work, and then when they changed my schedule to that 4 to 4 thing, it just whacked me off, and I stopped going to the gym. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I spent the week recovering. I started drinking too much and just, you know, sitting around really kind of, not really depressed, but I don't know what it was, just lost.
Right.
Packing on the pounds. And
so you came out of the Army in August of 2004 at about what body weight, do you think?
I was probably up in about 182 or 183.
And give us the weight scenario that occurred and over what period of time from there?
Well, I managed to keep my weight. I think I went up to about 196 or so over the course of that year to the following July, this past July. And it's kind of funny when I look at my before picture now, because before I looked at that before picture, I didn't really think I was that bad off.
Oh, of course not.
You know, I just felt like, you know, I'm a little chubby. I'm, you know, I could lose a little weight. And anyway, so when you contacted me in July and asked me if I wanted to come back in the club, and I thought, gosh, why didn't I think of that before? So, of course, I jumped on the opportunity, and I didn't really get the eating part right. July was not my heaviest month, actually. I think the end of August, I weighed 206.
Okay.
And so between July and the end of August, I put on another 10 pounds.
Oh, wow.
But that was because you know, you think you know everything. And I tried to change out my snack habit of eating whatever I was eating for snacks to eating good, wholesome mixed nuts, because the fat in them is good for you.
But, so you need a jar at a time.
I'm putting down 3 or 4 cups of those a day.
Right.
And going, you know, those big cans they sell in the grocery store, I was eating one of those a week.
Oh, wow.
And so one day I looked at the can and it says it's like, you know, 11,000 calories of fat in that can or something like that. And
right.
I'm like, no wonder I gain all this weight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I did the wake-up call and actually started using the tools in Club Lifestyle with logging my food and realizing that my peanut butter and jelly sandwich was a splurge.
Mm-hmm.
My tuna fish sandwich was a splurge unless I made it with fat-free mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
So I really thought that I was eating right.
Right.
And I wasn't. I was just sabotaging my effort without realizing it.
So 206 was the snapping point, and then you and I got together, and I, you know, basically there's all kinds of ways to do it. You know, how we did it, you know, we can leave that for another time. But let's just say that you and I got together, and I helped you put your back against the wall with what I call leveraging.
Absolutely. Well, actually, what happened, I think, in September, as you just opened my eyes, you know, you and I did I think we were doing an online chat.
Oh, yeah, we're doing live chat.
And you just, you know, you said, look, you need to face the fact you're fat.
I'm always sold.
Well, you know, and I appreciate that. I mean, but it's true. And, you know, I mean, some people can't take it. But the fact is, you know, you told me, look, you're over fat. Because I think I was at 24% body fat then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I thought I was doing okay. Because the 24 is not 25, and 25 is, you know,
mm-hmm.
fat people.
Okay.
But, I started doing the intermediate periodization.
Oh, right, from the muscle professor.
Right.
Yeah.
And I started adding some cardio into my workout. Still really not enough, but I put in probably 30 minutes 3 times a week on cardio.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was doing the 3 workouts a week with the muscle professor.
Mm-hmm.
And I just refocused my attention on what I ate and paid attention to what I ate. I really used the log daily probably for 4 or 5 weeks
mm-hmm.
before I was felt comfortable that now, you know, I can look at something and go, no, that's a splurge.
You know, that's really what I teach is, whether it's you, me, or anyone else, the idea is not to log our foods forever. The idea is to log them long enough to kind of get an MBA in personal nutrition.
Yeah.
You know, it's not an MBA, but it is a master's degree, a master's level of knowledge on personal nutrition when you use the nutrition analyzer. And you just do it long enough to gain that understanding so that you could go into Applebee's or wherever, take a trip to Cancun and look at a big, you know, spread of food and get a general idea of what's on your plate.
Right.
And it took you 4, 5, 6 weeks?
Yeah, really just log and everything, and I found that in order to do that, I had to write it down before I put it in my mouth.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd forget.
Right.
You know, or I realized the next day, oh, yeah, I had that yesterday, and I didn't write that down.
Mm-hmm.
So I started carrying around my notebook, and, you know, I'm the only guy that I see in the gym. I have my clipboard with my printout, and I have a timer.
Your workout, yeah.
I bought a timer from one of the local fitness stores that you put in 60 seconds and it counts backwards and beeps.
It beeps, right.
And I did that because I found I'd get distracted. I'd be talking to somebody or you can't really see the second hand sweep on the clock real well. And,
yep.
That's how I got my workouts to be under an hour. Those intermediate periodization workouts for me range from 30 minutes to 45 minutes depending on which, you know, whether it's 1, 2, 3, or 4.
Right, right, which workout it is.
And otherwise, I was taking an hour and a half sometimes to do a workout.
Hey, this timer you're talking about, is this like a food timer, or is this something special that is more fitness-oriented?
Oh, it's a fitness timer.
You got a brand or a name or anything? The others might want to know what this is, because it could be a valuable tool for people.
Okay, well, can I look it up and get it back to you?
You bet.
It's. I think I got it. I'm trying to remember the name of the... I got it online.
Okay.
and I don't remember the name of the store, but it has three buttons. One button sets the minutes, one sets seconds, and the other is the on-off.
Right.
And so if you set it for a minute and you hit the start button, as soon as it counts down to 60 seconds, it starts beeping.
Right.
And it's an annoying noise.
Right.
And, you know, everybody in the gym will be looking at you, so you want to turn it off as quick as you can and start lifting again.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so if your sets, even switching between sets, like a 90-second rest to a 60-second, you just push both buttons at the same time, it goes back to zero.
Right.
And hit one, and it's at 60 seconds again. So, anyway, that thing works great.
Yeah, it's great. And I think the only thing that, and we don't necessarily have to get into this, but with the muscle audio that you've done, I think that one of the things that does is it has that built-in timer.
Right. Muscle audio is unbelievable. I just started doing that. You sent me the 8x8 probably 5 or 6 weeks ago. And the first time I listened to it, I said, oh, man, am I a sucker. Because I listened to that, and I said, I got to have these. So I bought the Awesome Legs.
Oh, yeah.
And what a wake-up that was.
Your rest periods are just kind of set in stone with the muscle audio. That's the thing about it. And you don't want to...
Yeah, well, it is just so cool because it's like having a personal trainer right there in your ear without the distractions. There's no side conversations. Nobody bothers you because you got the earphones in your, you know. And when you're working with a real personal trainer, of course, you're talking and they're trying to entertain you because they want your money next week.
Right.
You know, but the muscle audio, it's just all business. You go in the gym, you go boom, 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 and you're done, if you can hang.
Hey, I want to continue on with the whole fat loss journey here. I'll just tell everybody that, you know, they can go to muscleaudio.com for more information on that, and we'll just leave it there. Well, one of the things I had made a note about when you were talking about when your wife is deployed and you kind of became the everything, but definitely Mr. Mom, for sure. You were Mr. Dad and Mr. Mom.
Right.
Mr. Everything for the kids while your wife was gone. You know, one of the notes I made is, you know, I believe, some people believe that a housewife or a house mom or a domestic goddess or however you want to, how they want to be described, they have it easy. They have it made, and that the working women in our world, which is, you know, a lot or the majority, because it takes a substantial household income just to live these days. You know, a lot of times it's believed that the housewives have it made, but in working with both sides, the working woman and the stay-at-home mom or whatever, you know, the stay-at-home moms, it's been said, have one of the most fattening jobs in the world. And the reason that is said is because they are at home and they're always near food. And one of the things I just wanted to ask is, and I know you were working for a good portion of the time, and you were working full-time, and you were doing the Target thing, but how would you relate, from the male perspective, when you kind of had to take the role of what would be more typical for a woman or, the domestic goddess, house mom, you know, housewife, however you want to say it, with regard to the, you know, being at home and having it made?
Well, now that my wife's back, I do have it made.
Right.
You know, I mean, but so where my empathy goes out to is like single parents,
mm-hmm.
especially. But the stay-at-home mom, I don't think it's the fact that you're around food all day. I think we all are. You know, I mean, those temptations are always going to be there, even if you're, unless you live and work in some really rural area or something. There's going to be plenty of temptation within walking distance, or they'll even deliver if you're too lazy to leave the desk.
You bet.
But the thing that I found is that you're so busy at home trying to do the easy job that you don't have time, or you don't take time to prepare the foods that you would. Like when I worked, I always took my food to work. And so I took the time to prepare what I was going to eat that night. You're at home and he's like, you feed the kids, you eat what they don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just not eating healthy, and you're not really, it takes a lot of energy to plan out and time to plan out your meals and do it correctly. And I didn't do that.
Right.
When I was the stay-at-home mom or the single parent.
Right. You know? Right. Well, let's continue on here. So you kind of August of 2005, right? Yeah.
Right.
You were 206. And what are you today? And this is, where are we at? We're in March of 2006.
We're in March. I'm 176.
176. So you're kind of back into that lower end of where you were in your 24 years in the military.
Right.
So as you went through this process, as again, like I said, you and I came up with a unique way for me to help you stay accountable and for you to stay focused. And all I want to say is, again, because I do create different things for different people when I'm working with them at the personal level as far as helping them stay accountable, let me just ask you this. How did that affect your decision-making in times when you might not have otherwise made the best decision? How did the accountability help, or did it help?
It helped immensely. That little accountability tool that you threw on me, that and there's a chapter in Leanness Lifestyle, there's a paragraph you put in there about, I forget which chapter it is, but when you just don't feel like working out.
Right.
Unless you're in your deathbed or sick, just get up and do it.
Right.
Between those two things, but really I got to give a lot of the credit because that leverage that we came up with, I would sit there and go, no way. There's no way I'm not going to do, there's absolutely no way. It's that powerful.
Right.
That I just said, hell or high water, I'm doing it. And, when I can get on a Nordic track and ski for 50 minutes after I've done a leg day.
Oh, man.
That's important.
Yeah. Yeah, very much. Well, that's it. Like I say, once we figure out what it is, and at the personal level we can do that, and we put it in place, that's why, I wrote in Leanness Lifestyle about leveraging and its power, and if it's done right, and that's the thing, too, is I have a lot of experience with this now, and I've been working on helping people stay accountable at a personal level for a number of years now, and I have found things that don't work, and I have found a lot of things that do work, and I have found that there could be the wrong kind of person to leverage, and that person may not be successful with this kind of leverage, but they may be successful with this other kind of leverage. And it's really taken a lot of practice and experience to kind of get it down, and to make sure that I don't set someone up for failure. And so yes, it can be very, very powerful, but it's not for the meek and the unexperienced in having in setting it up. So I just want to give other people a caution on that, not to, as they read the Leanness Lifestyle and they read about leveraging, it can be extremely powerful, but it really is probably best served when it's done by someone with the experience and knowledge on how to really make sure that it's the right kind of person, the right kind of leverage, that it really does set them up for success and not failure. Well, as you went through this process, Ron, what was harder than you thought it would be, and what was easier? Any surprises?
The whole thing was a lot easier than I thought it would be. The reason I say it is because when you look at the time period I did this, we've got summer picnics, we've got Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Yeah.
With all the associated parties and family get-togethers and things like that, and the thing that really helped me do that is I was just focused on it. I knew, when I looked at that buffet of food, and I was like, man, I don't want to eat that, or I can eat this, But I wasn't the nerd guy that didn't eat cake at the birthday party, or only ate the vegetables at the Christmas party. I really followed the lifestyle in that sense, and that, it's very forgiving if you are sticking to it over the big picture.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember there was one part in Leanness Lifestyle where you said, don't look at today, look at the week.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you have to look at today in order to get through the week, but
right.
you don't focus on today and go, oh, I just had a Big Mac or something, and now, I blew it for the week, but now what am I going to do the rest of the week to make up for that?
Mm-hmm.
If that happened.
Did you have a splurge every week?
More or less. What I found is I really needed to plan my splurge. Originally, what was happening is I would wind up inadvertently getting a splurge.
Right. It
just that really wasn't what I had planned on, mm-hmm. and then I would just say, okay, that was my splurge.
Right.
And so for probably oh, I don't know, probably really all the way through Christmas, I didn't do a splurge myself where it was a planned splurge.
Right. It just,
they were just happening.
They just happened, yeah. Throughout your week, you might be in a situation or whatever where whatever food was available or the choices that you made, that particular meal ended up just being a splurge.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think probably one of the problems I had before was that I didn't really understand what a splurge was.
Right.
And so I was eating probably at least a splurge a day.
Oh, yeah.
Until I realized the changes, little changes, didn't really, I mean, using fat-free mayo in a tuna sandwich doesn't really change the flavor or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes it so it's not a splurge.
Right. Right.
So
when you were 206, what size pants were you wearing at that time?
I was trying to bust out of some 38.
Trying to bust out. And where are you at now? And you're at 176.
I'm wearing 34s with a belt that's I poked extra two holes in it to hold them up. I'm not small enough to get into the 32s yet.
Mm-hmm.
The 34s are want to fall off though. So I'm down. Well, I guess that's two men's sizes.
For you, Ron, what's tougher, getting in the exercise or being consistently healthy on your nutritional choices?
Time-wise, the exercise can be challenging sometimes, but I really enjoy it. I feel really crappy if I miss a day, and everybody around me knows it, so they all encourage me to keep working. Food, I think, is probably tougher on a daily basis, just because I know what I want to eat, but it's not always available if I haven't planned ahead. I open the fridge one day and I'm out of stuff, and it's like, oh, what am I going to eat now?
Mm-hmm.
So I think food is definitely more of a challenge for me.
Do you prepare most of your own meals?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You do?
Yeah.
Are you considering anything in the future now that your body fat has come down and you're 30 pounds lighter than you were last August that you might not have if you hadn't been as successful as you are?
Well, yeah, actually, I signed myself up for a half triathlon this summer, which is a 1.2-mile swim, 56-mile bike ride, followed by a 13-mile run.
Just means that you're certifiably insane.
Well, yeah. That's what my wife says. She said, why don't you do the sprint, which is it's like a 500-meter swim and a 10-mile bike ride and a 3-mile run. I said, because I could do that today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stretch my legs. I'm going to shoot for the half. And I never even would have considered it. I don't think there's any point in my life that I would have considered that. But what's happened to me over the past 6 months is that I realized that when you put your mind to something and really focus on a goal and leverage it correctly, you can achieve anything. And I'm going to go for the half. I think that's a pretty good stretch for me, and maybe next year I'll try a full.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's outstanding. You know, we've got a lot of members in the program who do various endurance events and like you said, the minis and the halves, and they run marathons and half marathons, and they do cycling events that are 100 miles and so on and so on. And I think it's great because I think it gives you something to strive for other than just doing it to lose weight.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to have, I think, yeah, you need to have more than that.
Mm-hmm.
If your focus is only on losing weight, you're going to gain it back again.
It's got to be a lifestyle change, and it's got to be about, and however it is, it's got to be about, you know, living a healthy lifestyle for life. And I've got friends and people in the program who I just come to mind immediately who I know are very competitive people who will use competitions or competition type events to help keep their focus and to just keep their motivation up. And others could care less about the competitive nature of a mini or a half triathlon or whatever, and they're still successful because they're focusing on all of the benefits of just simply living a healthy lifestyle and what it's going to do for them for life without necessarily being competitive. So it's to each his or her own, but I always like to see it when people are getting involved in various competitive events. I just think it's good, and it does put the focus on something other than weight loss. were there any health issues when you were 206 that were starting to rear their head? I mean, you hadn't been heavy for that long. Was anything, you know, creeping up at all or no?
Well, yeah, I had, I think hereditarily, I have high cholesterol. And my cholesterol then was 250.
Mm.
And triglycerides were looking ugly, and the doc was saying, well, you know, maybe I need to put you on Lipitor or one of those lifelong drugs.
Right.
And I said, no, I don't think, I said, I want to give exercise a shot here before I start doing that. And, you know, just because I knew my cholesterol has always creeped up whenever I cut off on the cardio.
Mm-hmm.
It had never been that high before, but it always has gone up, and as soon as I started doing some cardio and resistance training, it dropped back down.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew it wasn't something I needed to be popping pills over. I went and actually had them do a heart CT on me when they came back with that, because I said, well, look, you know, if I've got some clogging going on, then let's do something. But I've also read in a lot of places that cholesterol is just an indicator, and you know, it may not be that critical. So I wanted to have the CT, and I came back with zero blockage.
Right.
Which really, that cleared me to start exercising.
Has the cholesterol been rechecked?
Yes, and I'm down. It's 170.
Oh wow.
Now, and you know, when I had it rechecked, actually, only 3 months after I really started doing this leanest lifestyle. Religiously,
mm-hmm.
And that's this 170 is from November.
Yeah.
So I'm getting ready to have it retested here again, and I'm sure it'll be probably in the 150s.
Yeah, it's great though.
The doc said, "Well, they must have made a mistake on the first one. You can't drop it that fast." You know,
yeah.
It's kind of funny, but I'm like, yeah, you can.
Yeah, well, if the first one was a mistake, then so was the second one. I mean,
which
one would you like to pick as the mistake?
My resting pulse is like 56.
That's great.
And when I was 206, it was getting up to closer to 70.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Where are you going to from here? I know we've talked a little bit on live chat, and I believe your body fat is in that 11 to 12% range right now. What are your plans? Where do you want to go?
Oh, I want to get down to 7 or 8%, and I think it'd be fun to jump into a contest sometime. You know, as being an old guy going to an old guy contest.
Oh, a bodybuilding show?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think that'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I realize I'd have to cut it down probably to 4.5 or 5% to do that, but
right.
If I can get down to 8 and keep it there for a while, you know, and see how I feel, and
right.
You know, I think it'd be fun just to do that, kind of like doing the Ironman. You know, like, do it so I can say I did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And at 44, the nice thing about it is, by the time you were able to enjoy the view at 7 or 8% and spend some time kind of seeing what that felt and looked like, and also spending some more time as you are, you know, really working on continuing to put on, you know, new quality muscle, you'll be in that 45 to 49 year old bracket in bodybuilding, and that'd be nice, be a good spot for you.
Yeah.
Well, you've been, you know, very successful. 30 pounds gone in the, let's see, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March. So in about 8 months, it's great, and you know, very, very excited for you and happy that you were able to do this. How many times did you and I meet in person?
I've actually never met you.
And yet you were still able to be successful with, you know, this virtual program and, you know, and at least, you know, at least some limited personal interaction on tweaks and adjustments along the way. How does that even happen? I thought everyone had to hire a chef and they had to have a personal trainer that literally, you know, took them by the hand through every single workout.
That's my fantasy, Dave, is that we'll open a camp where we can just come live. But, I'll tell you, the thing is that if you've used the tools that you've made available in Club Lifestyle and you're honest as you do it, I mean, it's easy to go through the NFL Daily and just click them all.
Yeah.
But if you actually read them, mm-hmm. and I mean, and have that printed out and make that part of your day, you know, and you weigh yourself every day. I think that's one of the biggest changes I made, really, besides exercising, is weighing myself every day. I never realized what a valuable tool that would be. You know, I used to think that would be considered obsessive or something.
Right.
But it really lets you track a trend so much easier, as long as you don't obsess on the daily number.
Right.
You know, and really, the thing that I found, Dave, is that when you go to do something like this, when you go to do a big change, a transformation, you're going to face some obstacles that you wouldn't really expect. And I mean obstacles like you think that you're going to make yourself better, and you would think that your family and friends would encourage you and stand beside you and, you know, push you on. But they don't,
mm-hmm.
because they're unless they're in better shape than you,
mm-hmm.
they're threatened by what you're doing.
Right.
And, you know, it's been amazing. It's 30 pounds, and nobody in my family has said a word.
You know, I'm laughing, but it's not because I think it's a joke. It's just because it's so common, and it's kind of sad. I mean, it is, but I do talk about it. I do teach it even in my book. And, of course, anytime I'm teaching a live class, I try to make people aware of it. But you're absolutely right. And there is kind of a process where people do feel very threatened by... I mean, look, 66% of Americans are overweight, Ron.
Yeah.
So if you're not overweight, you are in the minority. And that's a fact.
Right.
This
is what makes the online piece and your club lifestyle and leanest lifestyle so valuable, besides giving you the tools. It also provides you the support and the encouragement, and you need that. It's like the before picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to take a before picture. You have to. I mean, people don't want to do it because they know they don't look good, but God, take that picture, because when you look back at that in combination with the other things, that's all the encouragement you need.
Yeah, absolutely, and it is amazing what that before picture will show you, and the mirror lies... And the photo is a more honest representation at that given time of what you really look like. And it's very, very easy to suck in your stomach or turn just so in the mirror or have your eyes translate inappropriately and inaccurately, you know, to your brain what you know, you're really seeing.
Right.
So, yeah, there's no doubt about it. And it, like you said, with the support inside the club, the nice thing about it is the other members know exactly what you're going through, and... They are, you know, available for support just from the discussion board, and so am I, when no one else around you may be supportive at all.
Right.
Yeah, there's a saying that, you know, I kind of use to make the point on kind of what is really going on, and it's, you know, there's a saying that goes, you know, don't keep up with the Joneses, just drag them down to your level.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of truth in that when someone's making a nice transformation, because 66% of Americans are overweight, and if you're not overweight, you're in the minority. Well, my goodness,
right.
We can't have that. We can't have
it's part of my motivation for going for the triathlon is that, you know, when you're in the gym, there's all kind of people in the gym, and most of them aren't in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them aren't exercising properly. And so you can't. You want to surround yourself with like-minded people. You know, fit people.
Right.
And that's the only way to get that kind of support and encouragement. And that's what I found in the triathlon community.
Right.
Those people are in good shape.
Yes, they are.
And, you know, and they live the life. They eat healthy and they exercise their butts off. And so that was my goal for going for that.
Well, you know, kind of finishing up here, wrapping things up, I want to give you the last word on this. Any words of advice or suggestions to someone who may be listening to this, who's trying to decide if they can do this or if they should do this or whatever? Anything you want to say to them?
Okay. Yeah, I think it's really, really important to understand why you want to change. That piece of understanding your why and then setting goals from that, if you don't do that, I don't see how you can succeed, because that's what gets you through that and the leverage, I think. It gets you through those times when it's too easy not to do the right thing.
Absolutely.
Also, like I said, you need to understand up front that your support's probably not going to come from your family and friends unless they're in better shape than you. And the club lifestyle, I recommend that. I recommend your book, The Leanest Lifestyle, and I recommend your club lifestyle with the accountability tools and the daily loggings, because that's going to be excellent support and encouragement for people. And then I think the other thing you need to understand is that you're going to face resistance at every corner. I mean, your body's going to resist, your mind's going to resist, your family and friends are going to resist. So you just have to be ready for that, and you know, have a plan. If you have a plan of how you're going to deal with it, then you'll be able to deal with it. And you need to be strong to work through all that.
Well, that's
and you'll be successful.
It's outstanding advice, and you know, I could. There's no possible way I could say it any better. And like you said, having a prepared mindset as you go into this. And you know, when I talk to good members like yourself and people that have been successful with their body transformation, I think that it does help the person who is just getting ready to start for the 15th time or the second time, whatever, their next program, in helping them to be prepared for what is to come. And you've really laid out some excellent thoughts that people should really benefit from with regard to understanding that, you know, as I said, it's not about what your family does. It's about being able to hang in there when they don't support you. And it's not about what you don't have access to for exercise equipment. It's about what you do have access to and utilizing what you have and starting right where you are. Like you said, there's going to be obstacles at every step of the way. And there's going to be mental, physical, and social obstacles. And being prepared, as you've helped people do in this interview, is going to take people a long way to helping them to truly be successful, so that there are just less surprises as they go through the process. Well, Ron, I want to thank you for taking time with me today and helping others to understand what this whole leanest lifestyle, club lifestyle adventure is like, and what can happen when the principles are really applied. And I look forward to watching you go from where you are to that 7 or 8% range and letting you enjoy the view. And I tell you what, the only thing I ask is if, in our communications as time goes on, if you do decide to do the bodybuilding competition, you got to come back and do a follow-up interview when you hit that 5%, because that is a completely different animal.
Okay.
And we look forward to hearing the difference between being really healthy and being insanely lean, as you need to be for a bodybuilding competition.
All right. Well, I appreciate you letting me talk with you, Dave.
Well, thanks so much, and we'll speak to you soon.
All right.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Club Lifestyle, or to take a free 30-day test drive as a member, just visit www.leanesslifestyle.com. That's www.leanesslifestyle.com. Make sure you check out the many other success stories we have available through our podcasting and success gallery area of our website.